Blackstone Audio presents The Handyman by Bentley Little. This book is read by Chris Andrew Shula. Part 1. Daniel. 1. Business had been slow for most of the summer. So as much as I resented it, I was working on a Sunday morning, nearly 2 hours from home, showing a one-bedroom cabin in Big Bear to a young couple looking for a weekend getaway. It was the only property in the area within their price range, which meant that it was, in realtor parlance, a fixer-upper. No view, no lot to speak of, and not only had the previous owners been allergic to maintenance, but the structure itself had issues obvious to even the most unobservant layman. Stains on the ceiling from leaks on the roof, a sagging wall where a window had been installed, with no consideration given to the location of the load-bearing beams, a series of crooked shelves in the half-kitchen, a ridge in the incorrectly laid tile where two sections of flooring did not meet properly. None of these drawbacks seemed to deter the young couple, however, who were positively giddy over the prospect of owning a vacation home in the mountains, no matter what shape it was in. Still, as I led them through the rooms, the problems with the place were so distinctly noticeable that, at a certain point, it became comical. Looking at the shoddy construction in the bathroom, an unpainted plywood counter inexpertly built around the small sink, the husband shook his head, chuckling. "It's like a Frank house," he told his wife. My breath caught in my throat, the rationalizing excuse I'd been about to offer suddenly forgotten. Frank House. I couldn't believe what I'd heard, and I looked more carefully at the man and woman, whom I'd seen until then only as buyers. They were a good decade or two younger than I was, in their mid-20s, I suspected, and appeared to be Southern California natives. The man, Brad, a computer programmer, had one of those weird little squarish goatee things and wore a Bing Crosby-looking hipster hat. Connie, his wife, was blonde and tan, with the standard-issue big boobs and jeans so tight that everything was outlined. I spoke carefully, making a special effort to keep my voice calm and noncommittal. "What did you say?" "Oh, nothing. Did you call this a Frank house?" "It's kind of a private joke." "What's a Frank house?" I pressed. "It's nothing." "What is it?"
"You really want to know?"
"Yes," I assured him. Brad laughed.
"Okay. I grew up in this house in Tarzana. My mom still lives there. The neighborhood sort of grew up around us, but when we moved in about 20 years ago, the house was by itself on the edge of the city. The guy we bought it from was the guy who built it, a guy named Frank. I was really little, so I don't remember much about him, but my dad always said he was one of those guys who tries to pass himself off as an expert on everything. According to Frank, he'd invented this energy-saving heater and air conditioner for our house, and he'd installed some kind of plumbing system that recycled sink water to fill up the toilets. The place was supposed to be state-of-the-art when it came to the environment. Only, nothing worked. The toilets didn't flush, the roof leaked, and things kept falling apart. Not right away, but over the years. And each time something happened, my dad would curse out Frank and say, "This damn Frank house."
"Tell Mr. Martin about your mom's laundry room," Connie said.
"Daniel,"
I said reflexively. "Call me Daniel."
"Okay, so last year, my mom was watching TV, at night, and she hears this huge crash from the kitchen area. She goes back to check it out, and the entire floor of the laundry room's collapsed. The washer and dryer have both fallen into this hole in the middle of the room, and the sink's been pulled on top of them, and water's spurting everywhere from the burst pipes. It turns out that Frank hadn't put in enough support beams for the floor. After they looked at it, everyone was amazed that it lasted as long as it did. Pure luck, according to the contractor who fixed it." Connie shook her head.
"And the weird thing was that, under the floor, they found all these rolls of wallpaper. Dozens of them."
26, Brad confirmed.
Frank had been storing them down there in the crawl space.
That's why I called this a Frank house, Brad said. It kind of reminds me of the home where I grew up.
I returned to realtor mode.
So, this should be nothing to an old hand like you. Now, we haven't finished going over everything, but it seems like you're favorably inclined. So if it turns out that you two do want to make an offer, I'd bid $2,000 to $3,000 lower than asking price, since the place has all these problems. We might even try to get the seller to have some of them corrected before sale, though I doubt we'll get anywhere on that.
Brad and Connie looked at each other.
We are interested, Brad said.
Good. Then why don't we go back to my office? I'll put in a bid, and we'll see where things go.
I was on automatic pilot. I sounded helpful, engaged, competent, professional. But inside, I was none of those things. Frank House. I looked around the poorly built cabin, feeling cold. At that moment, there was only one thing on my mind. There were more of them.